The National Institutes of Health this week called for an end to what it calls routine gender bias in basic research.
According to the NIH, women are underrepresented in clinical trials carried out by drug companies and medical device manufacturers. The result? Women might experience more severe side effects from new treatments, and some treatments may not be as effective.
So why is there gender bias in research, and what are the effects on women? The NIH's Janine Clayton joins us now to explain more. She's the Associate Director for Research on Women's Health and the Director of the Office of Research on Women's Health at NIH. Janine, welcome to Central Time.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, for a long time, getting women included in clinical trials and medical research has been a goal. Now the NIH is saying, and you're saying, it needs to start earlier than that. It can't just happen when we're at a clinical trial phase, for instance. Where are we now when it comes to gender bias in medical research?
What we know is women are included in clinical research that's supported by NIH. And in fact, there are over 50% of those that are participants in NIH-supported clinical research are women. But what we don't see is in the preclinical studies, those studies where we're looking to test a drug or a procedure or a treatment to see if it might be useful, what we're seeing is that we don't see males and females there, and scientists don't look routinely for differences between males and females because it's sort of like a blind spot for them.
So what is the idea here, then, that most of the trials are, certainly if we go back to the animal research phase where a lot of this research starts, that it's all male animals, and is the idea then that, you know, a male is similar enough to a female that it's not necessary to include females?
Unfortunately, there are some people who think that, and there are also some people who think incorrectly that including animals, female animals, will cause variability in their research experiments and it will disrupt their experiments. We show in our paper, citing a meta-analysis, a collection of multiple studies, in fact, that is just not true. Males and females are no more variable than males, and in fact, in these animal studies, males have more variability than females in certain traits.
And one of the things I understand that researchers are worried about is adjusting for hormone cycles in females.
Exactly. That's what they think causes the variability. And this study nicely showed even when you don't account for the cycle, the females in these studies, the female rodents, were no more variable than the males. In fact, things like dominance behaviors, fighting amongst the males in the cages, those things caused even more variability in the males than you would ever see in the females.
So how does this impact women? So at the end of the road, let's say you start with your research on lab animals, and when everything has gone through its processes, you have, say, a drug on the market. So how does this affect women that we're seeing so much testing done on male animals?
Unfortunately, what this leads to is a gap in our knowledge. So we just don't know as much about how a compound, a drug, or a therapy might affect a woman's cells or tissues. And so when we don't know as much, we can't be as sure about the safety or the efficacy, whether a drug will work in women as well as it does in men. We know that drugs have different effects in men and women. For example, aspirin helps to prevent heart attack in men, but really works to prevent stroke in women. So we don't know everything if we have these half-truths, half-stories coming out instead of the whole story.
And there were some fairly recent news right about a sleeping drug, a drug that helped women get to sleep, and men that was metabolized differently by women.
Exactly. Zolpidem, a drug that is used for sleep, it's metabolized, it's cleared rather more slowly in women. And so the drug was still around the next morning after a woman took this the night before, and that resulted in some changes in her ability to do some tasks the next morning. So I would applaud the FDA and colleagues for identifying the fact that there was a sex difference there, that the situation was different for men and women, and acting on that.
And there are certain medical conditions that affect women more than men, things like anxiety and depression and thyroid disease, multiple sclerosis. What happens then in terms of which gender these drugs get tested on?
Sure. Too many of the times, despite the fact that a condition is more common in women than men, the animal studies that are being performed by the scientists still use predominantly male animal models. So despite the fact that, as you mentioned, depression is more common in women than men, the depression animal model that is being used to test a drug or to study the disease is more commonly a male animal. And even worse, in some cases, the publications that result from those studies don't report the sex of the animals that they were using in the studies. And that's a big problem because it makes it very difficult for other scientists to try to duplicate or verify those research findings.
You know, one thing I'm curious about, I haven't read anything about it in what you've written so far, but as we know, there's a big push to get girls interested in the STEM fields, women going into the STEM fields. And I'm assuming, and maybe incorrectly, you can let me know, but that a lot of these researchers are male themselves. Does that have anything to do with it?
There really is no suggestion that it's related to the sex of the investigator. This is a problem in science, and it's a problem beyond NIH. It's a problem for our scientific community. That's why we really need our medical education colleagues, those who are in the publishing realm, journal editors, our clinical colleagues who take care of patients, and all of us need to be working together to get a solution to this issue.
So what is the solution to the issue? How do we get this testing to be done on both male and female animals?
As we move forward, we're going to be asking our investigators to embark upon a balanced approach in addressing male and female differences in cells and animals to make sure that men and women get the full benefit of the medical research. And again, the reason why we're doing that and what we want to share with others is that sex, being male or female, is a fundamental variable in biomedical research that really must be considered from the very start.
Now, the NIH has appealed to researchers in the past for not including sufficient numbers of women in clinical trials. How is that going?
Right now, over 50% of those participants in NIH-supported clinical research are women. So that's where we are. That applies to NIH-supported clinical research. There's certainly research that's done by other entities and then supported by the pharmaceutical industry and other entities.
Why has it taken so long for this issue to really get traction and begin to be corrected?
That's a great question, and I don't have an answer to that question as to why it's taking it so long. All I can say is that it hasn't happened, it hasn't been enough of a priority, and that's why we're moving forward now to take action on multiple fronts. So we'll be issuing training modules, we'll be developing policies that will start rolling out in the next fiscal year. We are continuing actually to fund some supplements where we provide NIH grantees, scientists doing NIH research now, we provide them with additional funds so they can add male or female animals to their current experiments or add males or females to their human experiments and do additional analyses. And we'll be monitoring our review process and oversight processes as well.
Some of the concerns that I've seen raised about these new guidelines have been that it's going to cost more money and that you may need, as a researcher, double the number of animals that you're working with. How does the NIH respond to that?
This is really more than a numbers game. What we're talking about is a balanced approach in addressing these male and female differences in cells and animals in preclinical studies where, by design, those are studies that are done to try to see if a drug or a procedure is likely to be useful in people, in human beings who get this condition, and they're men and women who get this condition. So this is more than a numbers game, and in fact, the best money that we can spend is related to us doing the best science, and the optimal experimental design involves considering males and female differences in preclinical research.
So how optimistic are you and how optimistic is the NIH in general that you're going to get buy-in on this and that you're going to be able to affect real change within a relatively short period of time?
Scientists are about getting good data. And I think that as we share information about the value of considering the influence of sex on the data that scientists are obtaining in their experiments and when they understand the potential influence of sex on the outcome of their experiments, we're going to see a shift. We're going to see a change in mindset about that. We're anxious to have these conversations and to work together with our colleagues to share best practices about how to do this, because I think there is a need out for getting that word out, and we're happy to do that.
Well, Janine, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Janine Clayton, Associate Director for Research on Women's Health and the Director of the Office of Research on Women's Health at National Institutes of Health.